All right, let's kick into our teaching for this evening. We'll continue what we have been discussing. Our subject has been the work of Christ. And don't forget what I have been saying. I can't say it enough. Christianity is grace. Christianity is what?
Grace.
It's what?
Grace.
What is grace? Grace is when God does things for you and you walk into the result of what he has done. Grace is when you press a switch and the power is turned on. Grace is everything that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross of Calvary, which was shown to be complete by his resurrection. Grace is the power of God that is manifested towards those who believe. Grace is when things are done not by your power, not by your might, but by his Spirit. Grace is when your life moves in such a manner that God takes all the glory. Grace is when your past, your behind, you know, the things behind you, don't determine what your future will be. Grace is when, no matter what, where you are from, who your parents are, who you know or who you don't know, when there is no cap to what you can be in life, that is what grace is. Grace is what you become because of the working of God, not because of your own striving. Grace is what comes out of your life because of what you believe. That's what grace is. People often describe grace as unmerited favor. Yes, it's true that you don't merit grace. It's not because of what you have done. No, that's not, of course, it is true that is not because of what you have done. What you have done is not the reason why things are going to happen in your life. But they make it look as if there is nothing you do to make grace happen. No, there is something you do to make grace happen. And that is called faith. He said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. What that means, therefore, is that you pay your price in believing. You don't pay your price in doing. You pay your price in what?
Believing.
In what?
Believing.
In believing. That is when you make the effort. Grace is not just I sit at home and things happen. It may appear like that, but that's not what it is. Grace is that I put my efforts in the right places. Paul said it like this, labor to enter into his rest. That is, to enter into his rest is a laboring affair. You understand? You have to put in a lot of energy. You have to labor. You know, I got a message from one of our friends today. He just told me that he was listening to one of our messages. And I said, truth must be pursued. That is, you must work hard to get into truth. You don't just sit down and truth comes upon you. You must go out to seek it. You must go out to try to learn it. Sometimes somebody tells me that that book is voluminous, so I didn't read it, and I'm surprised. You understand? People say, that thing you were saying, I couldn't understand it, so I stopped reading, and I'm shocked. You are getting my point? I mean, you should seek to know what I'm talking about. You should seek to understand. You know, sometimes you disagree, you know, because, of course, many of you know me very well. There's many things that are very popular, which I don't believe. All right? And a lot of times, I present those things to people, and they rather just draw back. Instead of reasoning and thinking about it, they rather just simply draw back and let things remain the way they are. Let me say this to you again. God does not owe you a blessing because you are ignorant. You must understand that. What he owes you is correction if he loves you. Remember the story of Abimelech when he took Abraham's wife. He said to God himself that, you know the kind of man of integrity that I am. I thought the man was his sister and I wanted to marry her. So it was a big deal. In their culture, then it was all right. And God said, I know too. That is why I have come in a dream to correct you. Meanwhile, by that time, all right, problems had begun in the home. Calamity had set upon the whole family because of ignorance. You are getting my point. There was already trouble inside the house. But God said simply, what I owe you because of your integrity is to correct you. I'm never going to bless your ignorance. I may overlook what you don't know and do the best I can for you, but I won't bless that ignorance. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. The blessing I give to ignorant people is information. Cornelius was a man who wanted to know God. So he was striving and striving. He was always praying. He was always giving alms. And that resounded in heaven. But did God bless his almsgiving? No. Did he bless all the prayers? No. He said, listen, the way to blessing is called Jesus Christ, and you don't know him. So he sent him an angel. And the angel told him, oh boy, this one you are doing, we see your heart is good. but there's no forgiveness of sin here. Are you getting my point? Your curses will not be removed because of all these alms you are giving and all these prayers you are praying. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, therefore, send for Peter. I've gotten him ready. Once you talk to him, he will come and tell you the way of salvation. Cornelius was ignorant. All right? But that ignorance was not blessing him. But God saw his heart, so God sent him information. Therefore, grace, all right? That's how it works. You must strive to know the truth. You can't just say, because it's what you have been taught, that if you need something, you give towards it. And you have given for the last 10 years, so you don't want to accept that you have been walking around in 10 years. At that point, the Bishop Oyedepo said, once I was listening to him, he said that, God said to him, that no matter how long you have traveled on the wrong road, when you discover the truth, you turn back. Are you getting my point? That is, you can't say because, okay, you are trying to get down to Lagos, and you've been driving for the last 4 hours. But when you start the journey, you turn this other way. So you're about to get to Port Harcourt now. And I said, no, this is not the road to Lagos. And Port Harcourt said, we've already driven for 3 hours. Let's just continue driving. Would that turn Port Harcourt to Lagos? It happened to some of my friends. The time when my father passed on, they came for the funeral. The only man that knew the road, the man who was driving did not know the way. The others who knew the road, they fell asleep on their way back. When they got to Benin, they were coming from our. When they got to Benin, you know, enter the bypass, instead of dropping at the proper place and joining the Onitsha Road, they dropped at the one going to Warri. They had reached Warri before the other people woke up. Somebody else woke up and looked and said, look, come on, this place is looking funny. He said, did you turn the right? They said, no, I didn't. I turned at the bypass. I said, no, we're almost in Warri. They said, okay, we have already gone so far. Let's just go enter Warri. They turned back. No matter how long you have spent practicing that which is not right, when truth comes, when a word comes to challenge that which you thought you knew already, take it to God in prayer. Settle down and search. I found out something. Very few people, all right, who disagree with some of the things I say. None, not very few. None has ever been able to take the Bible and show me where I'm wrong. They rather tell me that you tell me that this big man of God is wrong. That's the kind of arguments I get. They want to tell me testimonies. Take the scriptures. Let's reason together with it. What I'm going to explain. If you want grace, all right, to come out of your life, to be manifested in your endeavors, what you do is you put your energy in getting to know the truth. I said something, you know, I've been saying it again and again over the last few weeks, I've been teaching on this subject. I'm not telling you to go and do anything with the things I'm saying. I'm saying just settle down and let the words enter into you. It's filling you with the air of the Spirit. It's blowing you up. Then very soon you'll begin to float. Are you getting my point? Very soon you'll begin to rise to the place that God wants you to get to in this life. What is grace? Grace is when my life moves according to God's order. When I put my energy into seeking the truth. That's what grace is. Grace is the life of Jacob. That even though I may not be as strong as my brother Esau, if I understand that the blessing is what matters, and I fight for it with all my heart, I will become a great nation. That's what grace is. Are you getting my point? So Christianity is a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
That is, don't get up any day striving to go out about your business without having the truth inside your heart. I mean, you can't be running your life the way your father ran his own. Your mother ran her own like that. All your friends have gone one way. Look at them. You'll get to precisely where they go to. If that's not what you want, then you have to know something different. Not just, you know, people say that you do something different. You can do another thing that is wrong. You think the way your father lived is the only way that's wrong? There are many other wrong ways. No, it's very crucial you understand that. There are many other wrong ways. What you must do is to settle down. God, let me just sit on that for a moment. As a Christian, let me just say something to you quickly. Don't forget what you learned in elementary physics and chemistry. The natural order of things is disorder. That is, you are bound to fail in life unless you put order. If you start a business, the normal thing is that you should fail. That's how life is. Grace is the power of God that makes it succeed. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now, we are saying that you must ensure that that grace comes into whatever you are doing. Comes into your life, comes into your marriage, comes into your business, comes into your career. The only way that will happen is when you settle down and say, wait, how does grace flow into this one? That is, I must settle down. Don't just start doing business the way everybody has been doing it. I must settle down and ask the question first. How will I do my own thing that grace will flow into it? That is, truth must be first. I must learn the word of God. That is why anything you want to do in life, you know, I always tell people that you're starting a business. As if you want to start selling a bread, as an example, or anything, jam, peanut butter, you know, opa, anything. There are many people doing it right now before you started. You know what I'm saying? Many people are already doing it. So ask yourself a simple question. Why should the people that were buying from other places come to my own place to buy? Very important. Until you have an answer to that question, don't start. Until you have an, I don't mean the kind of answer like, hey, because I'm a child of God. Listen, your customers don't know. And they are not aware. You're being a child of God is your personal matter. Are you getting me? It's between you and your God, who you are his child. I'm talking about your customers. I mean, when this big shopping mall opened in town here, they kept on advertising low prices. Low prices. And we know their prices are not lower than the Ogbete market. We know now. Are they lower?
No.
But why do we go there? See the parking space? Are you getting me? You see the beautiful place? Everywhere is air conditioned. There's no uzo, 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 uzo as you are moving inside the market. Have you entered into Ogbete before? I mean, those boys, they will jam you. You know? I mean, I've entered those places, you know, I've not gone there in a long time, really, apart from once I went to buy books. I used to get angry. What kind of, but after a while, I said, no point getting angry. It's better than stealing. Yes. It's better than joining gangs. The boys are in the market. They are very rough. Uzo, uzo. Are they like carrying your hands? I just have mentioned, when they say uzo, uzo, I give them all the uzo available. Please, uzo. But when you enter into those joints, there's no uzo, 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 uzo. You're welcome, sir. You know, you go there. Ding, 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 ding. They give you your receipt. You put your things in your cart. You roll it out into the parking lot and leave it there. Somebody comes to collect it. For that reason, you keep going back there. Everything is well displayed. There's nothing like, talk loud, now let me hear you. You know those guys? You've been to some shops. When they talk to you, you wonder, look, look, look. Did I come here to steal or I came here to buy? So anytime you want to go into your own field, whatever it is, that's just an illustration, all right? You must always settle down. It's that settling down part I'm talking about. That there is a way by which I'll walk and grace will follow the thing I'm doing. And until you discover that, don't start. Don't start. My wife was asking the other day, something led to it, you know, about if you did ministry like this all the years and nothing, that is nothing to show for it, you know, the word is not being published, you're just there on one spot. I said, wait, I will close it and go and ask God, what am I doing wrong? There has to be. Because grace is my portion. Are you getting my point? So if it's not flowing, I must say, where have I truncated the flow of that grace? Please, I'm emphasizing to us again that truth is very important for us Christians. And over the last few weeks, let's now connect back with our teaching for this season, all right? The work of Christ. Over the last few weeks, I've been explaining to us again that grace was bought. It's not free. It was bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. That our problems were, you know, they were wiped away by payment. Not just, okay, I've forgotten your troubles. No. Somebody paid to have them corrected. And I've been emphasizing, because it's very common in today's Christianity for people to pretend as if Jesus didn't do much for them. So I have been emphasizing that Jesus actually did a lot. That is, the so-called ancestral problems, they were tackled by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have been saying that. We have been explaining that the power of God was made available because Jesus came to repair the way, are you getting me, that Adam and then all human beings afterwards broke down by their sins. That Jesus literally is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole world. It took away your sin, it took away my sin. We have explained that all the problems that sin produced, all right, in Christ Jesus, all right, they have been removed. And what we need to know is that fact. If we know it, then our lives eventually conform with that truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. Let's ever forget it. Now, where we stopped last time, let me just pick up from there, all right? Is that Jesus, after he died, let's quickly read this again so as to connect with it. The book of Isaiah chapter 53, quickly get back there. I will jump down towards the end now because we have read it many times. And I want to save some time today. Let me see whether we can complete this whole series today or next time. Verse 10, it says, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Talking about the sacrificial lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He said, if he will render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He said, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, which is my servant, will justify the many, that is you and I, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, verse 12 says, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. What he said is simple here. That is, all the things that Jesus did, we said last time, as a result of that, God gave him something. In fact, the summary of everything is in that name, Jesus Christ. That is, in the name of Jesus. Now, it's not just the sound of the name, but when you talk about name, it represents a lot of things. It represents his personality, represents his character, represents his current rank, it represents his position in the heavenlies. That's what the name means. And quickly, let's go also to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We read that last time also. From verse 5, he said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. He said, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Verse 9 says, for this reason also, when we read from the portion of Isaiah in chapter 53, he says, therefore, this one says, for this reason, the same thing, for this reason also, God highly exalted him. That is, God said, I will give him a portion with the great. Paul said, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That was what God gave to him. As a result of the work that he did, as a result of the fact that he humbled himself to the point of death, that he gave himself, like Isaiah said, he bore the sin of many people, all right? He paid for their forgiveness. Because of all of those things, the Father who had life in himself gave life to him also after he died. And for that reason, he rose again from the dead. And as a result of those things that he did, God gave him an abundance of blessings. The summary of everything is in the name that God gave to him. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And he said that at the mention of that name, every knee will bow. Now, I said something last time. Let me just quickly repeat it. After Jesus got all of these things, let's use the expression, the spoils of war. He did not keep those things to himself. What he did was to immediately turn around and hand them over, all right, to the people that believed in him. That is, he did not win that victory for himself. If he defeated the devil, now listen to this, very important you follow me now. If he defeated the devil, it was not sin that he defeated the devil. The certificate of defeat of the devil by him was given to him and then he gave it to you. That is, if they are saying, who defeated the devil? You put up your hand and you will say, I did. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. And that's the summary of it. Because we read from Ephesians chapter 1, let's quickly open there again. Let's just read that. We'll read all these things and then just, we're going to pick up from where we stopped. The book of Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 15, but because it's long, I'll jump here and I just like to take things in context. So for this reason also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists amongst you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, he was saying. I'm praying, verse 18, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know the hope of his calling, so that you will know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. He says, far above all rule. That's the name of Jesus being described. I said the name also implies, part of what the name means is his rank, all right, currently. So this is his rank. He's seated in the heavenly places on the right hand of God the Father. Verse 21 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named, whether it's a disease, it's a cult, it's a problem, whatever, once he has a name, once you name that name, it is inferior to the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, he put all things in subjection under his feet, and then him being head of all things was given to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, quickly just jump down to verse 4 of chapter 2. It said, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our trespasses or our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him, verse 6, and seated us with him. Now, that's what I wanted to get to. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now I just want to read verse 10 and I'll stop there. It said, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. Now let me just quickly explain why I read this. Now so we're saying that Jesus, after he got all those things, everything he won was given to his body, which is his church. And we see here that he's seated, that's his name, is a rank seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God. And he said, we are seated with him. I said to us, this is what it means. It means that if the devil sees you, you understand, what he sees is a person, all right? Once you're a believer in Christ Jesus, he sees the person who defeated him by the sacrifice on the cross. It doesn't see a man or a woman trying to struggle to succeed in life. Are you getting my point? What happens is that when they issue the certificate for victory in the battle, that certificate was taken and given to anyone who believes. And that's why he said, I and the children that the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. That is, anything that is ascribable to me is ascribable to any one of those my children. That's what they were saying. That is, it is not seen as if Jesus defeated the devil. Now, get my point. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. Are you getting my point? And triumphed over them in it. Now, it's not seen that he did that. No. It is seen that you did that. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is why it is very funny. You know, when a Christian sits down and starts praying about the devil, I don't know whether I get my point. It's very funny, especially when he starts praying about the small workers of the devil, like what they call witches in Addis Ababa, Africa. In fact, they're all over the world anyway. No, it's very funny, because what is sin? When the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out demons in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, what they didn't understand, it was not just the name. It was the person carrying that name. That is, the demons were not flying out just because they mentioned the name Jesus. Listen, you must understand that the dispensations are different. There was a way it was before Jesus Christ went to the cross and died. The way it is after that is very, very different. Right now, it's not just that somebody is using the name of Jesus to talk and demons are responding. They can't seem to understand who it is that is speaking. So even though they mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, the demon got really angry and infuriated. Who are you to talk to me like that?
So he beat all of them very well. And they all disappeared. You must understand, in the realm of the spirit, what is seen is that, yes, Jesus conquered the devil. But it's not just him. Anyone who believes also conquered the devil. I hope you are getting my point. That is, when he or she stands and the devil sees him coming, or the devil is coming and they see the fellow standing, they use another direction. They run away. It is not all these devils, Holy Ghost, fire, the blood, though. It's not necessary. Just walk past. Do you get the point that they make? Why? It is simple. The reason is because the victory of Jesus was not ascribed to him alone. It is ascribed to everyone who believes. That is, on the right hand of God, the power of Christ belongs to them also. It is not seen, they are not seen as people trying to defeat the devil. They are not seen as people trying to overcome sin. They are seen as people that have already defeated the devil and have already overcome sin. Why? That's what Jesus died for. Are you getting my point? That's why the Bible said that we are seated with him. You know, last time I was saying something, that we must develop that seated mentality. You know, you shouldn't think that I've been hearing this thing for over literally more than 20 years. That Islam is going to take over the world. Let me tell you something. Before that, I heard that communism was going to take over the world. Where's communism? Communism remains now only in not China. I forget, the one in China is not communism. It's some people in power, retaining power. I think is it North Korea and Cuba. Those are the, even Cuba, you know, Cuba is tired. And the only reason why North Korea is trying to pretend is because China just simply just stay there and be pretending. Because if you guys relax now, you will join with South Korea and you'll now be an American ally at our doorsteps. And we don't want that. The point is this. What happened to communism? They got tired. The power of Christ wore them out. Please, you must understand that. Then after they went down, somebody else rose and people are now afraid. Let me tell you something. I like what the Miles Monroe said. He said, read the end of the story and you won't find them there. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You must understand that. A believer in Christ Jesus must have a winner's mentality. You say, but I've had problems. I keep on saying that having problems is like a child. Don't eat. I can't get up from here. My mother has to carry me to where there's food. You see, this child has problems. Let me ask you, is that true? No, answer me now. A child, I mean, this child is just 6 months old. We are going to take food. You are a human being too. He said, no, my mother has to take me to where there's food. He said, oh, this child has problems. The child doesn't have problems. The child is what? A child. The fact that somebody has to make the food and bring to the child is not a sign that the child has problems. It's a sign that this child is still growing. Please get what I'm not saying. Listen. He said, last year, before I was able to pay that rent, before I was able to buy those books, I really struggled. So, it just means you are 6 months old. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm not explaining. It just means what? You are still a child. It doesn't mean you are a failure in life. It doesn't mean you are not seated with Christ in heavenly places. It doesn't mean it. A brother came to me once and said, I don't feel blessed at all. I said, what's the problem? He said, the last three projects I started, they all failed. I said, so? You have four more to start to fail. Out of seven, three has failed. Start the next four quickly. So they can fail quickly, and the righteous man can fall seven times, and then the Lord can now finally raise him up. Listen, you know what I'm trying to get people to understand is the mentality. You are traveling on the road, your tire failed, and you are stranded. And we say, some people don't want me to succeed. That's why my tire is going down. I have had tires fall at strange times on the road. The only God is my witness.